We open God's Word together tonight in the Epistle to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. And the verse of Holy Scripture that we'll consider together will be verse 15 of the chapter. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Reading now Colossians 3, a beautiful chapter in the Word of God, centering in the work of sanctification, a holy life in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, with which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. May God give understanding to our hearts of his word that we have read. Tonight we look at verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that rules your heart? What is it that sits upon the throne of your heart, controlling your heart? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Is it guilt? Is it greed? Is it lust? Is it pride? Some form of pride. A form of pride whereby you hate yourself. Is it hopelessness? Is it despair? Is it jealousy? Is it hate against another? What rules your heart? The Word of God, you remember, in the book of Proverbs tells us that out of the heart are the issues of life, and that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And God says to us tonight, as those who by His grace have been risen together with Christ, whose life now is hid in Christ with God, as those who have been renewed in the image of God who has created us, God says to us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. For you have been called powerfully and irresistibly by grace unto that peace. You have been summoned to that peace in Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Well, you do that in one body, living in the fellowship of the body of Christ, and by living a thankful life, and be ye thankful. The deepest need of a human heart is peace. Peace with God. And the peace of God. The greatest need of our hearts is to know the peace of God. Yet people, and we as well, so often turn everywhere except to God for peace. Peace of mind. The world becomes desperate for peace. I read recently of the Sultan of Arabia. He has multiplied millions. He boasts that he owns the largest palace in the world. He has a hangar full of airplanes, and he has a warehouse of rare cars. He owns hotels, the Beverly Hills Hotel. He has apartments and homes in every major city, but he has a big problem. He cannot enjoy this. He lives in fear. Fear of kidnappers. Fear of terrorists. He lives in suspicion of those who are around him. He is constantly needed to be guarded. He's under surveillance in all of his movements. He can never reveal his schedule to others. He has no peace. And he cannot purchase peace. All want peace. But the whole world, the whole round world, does not fit into a triangular heart. No matter how much of the world you acquire, no matter how much you put on your body or into your body, apart from God, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Peace of mind and heart is found exclusively in God and by His grace. It is a gift of God through Jesus Christ, His Son. It is the knowledge of faith whereby you know you belong to Him and you cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. It is possessing the wonder of the forgiveness of sins, and that you know that even though those burdens press upon you of your sin and its consequences are very real to you, you know that you are right with Him by grace in Christ. It is knowing God directs your life so that there is a divine purpose in your life, that God is molding and directing the circumstances of life all for the highest good, His own glory and our salvation. It is found in submission to God. It is saying with David, "Let Him do to me as seemeth good unto Him." It is found by yielding your members, servants to God. It is knowing that God directs, that God controls, that God opens the doors of blessing in your life, or God closes doors in your life, that He uses evil for good. Peace is found exclusively in the living God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is experienced in knowing, trusting, obeying, following Him. This peace of God is to rule in our hearts. For we have been called by God unto this peace. And we experience this peace in one body by living a thankful life. Let's ask God that our souls may get their arms around this Word of God tonight. We use the theme, ruled by peace. Ruled by peace. Pointing out three things. Number one, the text teaches us that we have the possession of peace. We do possess it. Number two, the text calls us that peace preside in our hearts. And finally, the text will tell us how this peace is preserved, or how we will keep this peace. So, ruled by peace, the possession of peace, the presiding of peace, and the preservation of peace. Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, the assumption of this inspired Scripture is that every child of God in Christ Jesus possesses the peace of God in our hearts. Notice with me that this is the assumption of the text. It assumes that the child of God who is risen with Christ has the peace of God ruling in their hearts. There are other verses of the Bible which look at the peace of God from the perspective that we often pray for that peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. We pray for peace. The Bible also recognizes that so often we lose the experience of peace. And so Isaiah 38, verse 17, King Hezekiah says, "For peace I had great bitterness. Where peace should have been, I experienced bitterness. But Thou hast in love for my soul cast all my sins behind Thy back." He found peace again in the way of the forgiveness of his sins. But this text is not a prayer that we would have it. This text does not look at it from that point of view. But let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, it cannot rule in your heart if it is not there. And therefore, the assumption of the text is that in Jesus Christ, belonging to Him, we do possess this benefit of our Savior, even a peace in our hearts. We do possess it. That's the beautiful context that I've referred to. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. We are being addressed as those who have been raised with Christ, and we have that peace. Jesus said, another proof that we have that peace, John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace
I give unto you.
And the apostle in this very epistle, in chapter 1, verse 20, reminds us that he has made peace by reconciling us to God. Get this in your heart. Let it sink in. That peace of God may ebb and flow. But nevertheless, a child of God has peace. The peace of God in our hearts. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ and our forgiveness. But subjectively, in our hearts, part of the blessings of salvation is peace. Psalm 119, great peace have they who know thy holy law. What is this peace? It's the peace of God. In the experience, it's a spiritual calmness, both of mind and spirit. It's a tranquility that we feel in our hearts. It's a stillness. It's a quietness in which we bow before the Almighty God, knowing His grace. Grace that has washed me. A grace in which His hands now hold me, whereby He has loved me. It is the peace of God. In God, God's peace is His knowledge of His sovereignty. God does not worry. God does not pace to and fro upon His throne. God does not fret. God does not wring His hands. He does not look down, as some would say, and say to us in our trials, "Sorry, I didn't do that. I couldn't control that death. I couldn't control that loss. But I'm there to help you." That is not God. That is the idol of men. We sing in our Psalter, "His throne is fixed. He reigns supreme, the everlasting God." He declares to the prophet, "I will do all my good pleasure. The purpose of the Lord shall stand secure throughout all generations." He sees God's peace is that He knows His sovereignty, His own blessed and almighty wisdom and sovereignty, whereby all things must serve the highest good in His Son, Jesus Christ, the glory of His name. And that peace of God ruling in our hearts is, again, not only the conviction that we have been made right with God in the blood of His dear Son, but it is exactly the knowledge of the gracious sovereignty of God. It is the knowledge of the greatness of our God, and that of grace we have been made the apple of His eyes. Peace is knowing that of grace I am in the hands of the Almighty God, both in good and evil. When He chastens me for my sins, I am in His hands. That's peace. And it is an experience. The Bible points to that in the text that you're familiar with, we're all familiar with. Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "This peace passes understanding." It passes the boundaries of human language. We experience as the children of God. We experience because of our weakness of faith, because of our weakness and because of our sins, distress. We experience weariness and hopelessness. And times that we don't believe that God is answering us, and we grope. We become faithless. We become disturbed,
shaken by our difficulties. We become ruffled by our troubles. We're anxious. Then God, very often after He has brought us low, He has sent His Word in some way into our hearts. God gives to us and brings to us an incomprehensible peace. Humbled before God, repentant, God works in us a peace of forgiveness and the confidence, not based on myself, but based upon His own Son, that I am in His hands and His sovereignty is going to rule my life as He seems good, that He has promised that He will glorify Himself in me. And sometimes you can see that peace come upon a child of God. The last time you visited them, they were agitated. They didn't know where to go. Then that mighty, powerful Word of God, prayer and the Spirit, and God's promised peace has descended upon those troubled waters of the soul and even the body, and the appearance and the stress is gone. Do you know the peace of God? Now, before we pass from this point of the possession of peace, I want to say again, the text assumes that the child of God does possess, by His grace, this peace. I want to emphasize to you that this peace, which the text speaks, is pure and perfect in its place in the heart. That this peace that we have is not the peace of a sunset. It's not the peace of a quiet lake. It's the very peace of God. It is perfect and it is pure. It is transcendent. It is out of this world. It is greater than any conflict. It is mightier than any distress. It rules over every trial. It rules over anything you face or will face. It is supernatural. It is all sufficient. I tell you from God's Word, peace is not found in a bottle. It's not found in a different spouse. Peace is not going to be found in another purchase or in a charge card. Peace for you as a man will not be found in promotion. Peace will not be when all of your dreams are fulfilled. Peace is not hiding and keeping from the view of others that which I have done. Peace is not arranging everything so that it must work as I want. This is not peace. This is folly. Peace is the peace of God that God gives to His children, repentant sinners, trusting upon Him. And God gives this peace, not begrudgingly. As a parent for your child, you want contentment in Christ for them. You want them to walk with the Lord. You want them to experience that. How much more shall not our Heavenly Father give us peace? And note with me, yet, on this possession, note that this possession, I've said, is deep in the heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. In that new heart of Christ Jesus, that's a permanent heart. That's a heart that never stops its beating. That means that this peace is not superficial. It's not a peace that's painted on my face. It's not putting a happy face, a smiley face, standing in front of the mirror first before I go to church to make sure I look all right, though I'm troubled in my heart. That's not this peace. This peace is in the heart. It's where Jesus Christ lives and reigns in the born again heart. It's permanent. It's down in the heart. It's not superficial. It's not veneer. It's deep. And I want to point out to you yet, of the possession of this peace, the apostle says, to the which also ye are called. And that seals it. That seals it. We have this peace because we have been called to it. And the reference of the call there is what we know as the irresistible call of grace. This is the call of Christ. When we are called to salvation, it's that voice of Christ through His Word calling me to Himself. That's the calling. We often think of the calling in light of 1 Peter 2 verse 9 that we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. But here, the idea is Christ has called us out of our despair, out of our despondency, out of our hopelessness, out of all that sin has brought into our life. All the misery and heartache that sin has brought, He has called you into the peace of God. By His own merits and by His own grace and power, He's called you to this peace. And therefore, again, it may ebb and flow, it may flicker and flame, but every child of God in Christ Jesus has the peace of God. Now, the text is an imperative. It's an exhortation. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's the emphasis of the text. And therefore, we are dealing with sanctification, with the work of God's grace within us, calling us to obedience, to activity. And I'll quote just at this time, again, the words of Augustine to understand that relationship when Augustine said, give what thou dost command and command what thou wilt. God never gives us a command apart from His grace working in us to do that command. But He works it in us. Philippians 2. 12 and 13, He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The entire context has been that context. Put off the old man and his deeds. Put on the new man in Christ Jesus. And part of that is, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it regulate your heart. Let it govern your heart. Let it direct your heart. Now that word, rule. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That is the only place in the New Testament where this particular word for rule is used. There's other places where the word rule is found in the Scriptures, but it's a different word. Only in this place is that word used. And perhaps if you have a study Bible with you tonight, you'll see that, you'll see a footnote to that effect. And that word rule here is a word that Paul, something that the apostle by inspiration was very fond of doing. He constantly would use the examples of the Olympic Games. He would speak of running the race. He would speak of the fact that he would box, but not as someone who beat the air. He would speak of winning the prize and pressing for the prize. And so again, that word, rule, means literally to act as an umpire. To act as an umpire. That's why I use the word preside. Act as an umpire. And the references to the stadium, to the Colosseum. And inside, the Colossians would be aware of this. Inside the Colosseum, the oval track, where the athletes would compete, in the middle, on a raised platform, would be the place where the judge, the umpire, would sit. And he would preside over the games. And he would call that which was fair or that which was foul. And he had the prerogative over the events, over the marathon, over the discus, over the javelin. And he would make the call. He would make a call concerning an athlete even in the blocks. He would make a call whether an athlete had run, had stayed in his track, or whether he had cut that short or taken unfair advantage. He would see to it that all would compete fairly in the competitions. Now that's the word that the Holy Spirit uses. Let the peace of God umpire. Make the call of your heart. Let the peace of God arbitrate. Let it preside over everything that comes into your heart. Let the peace of God judge your heart. Is that thought, is that desire, is that attitude in your heart consistent with the peace of God? If it's not consistent, rule it out. Are you leaving the path of obedience? Even though you think that it will be just a temporary little detour from the path, you'll get off the path of the Christian life just for a few moments, and no bad thing will come. Is that path that you've chosen out of the bounds of the Christian life? Are you making decisions contrary to the Word of God? Are you following your desires, or are you following the Lord Christ in His Word? If you're doing that, rule it out. Rule it out of bounds. When that thought, that emotion, when that desire arises to control your heart, to take over the rule of your heart, call it. Make the call. Give it the red flag. Let the peace of God judge. Is this God's path? Is this the way of walking in the peace to which I have been called? If it's not, if it gets me thinking about self, and if it gets me thinking in such a way that I've been filled with anxiety, if it gives me to forfeit the peace of God in my heart, then rule that out. Very often, beloved, we can use the example here of anxiety. Anxiety which gives me to look inward at myself. Am I going to be able to do this? What do others think of me? Can I handle this? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to this situation in the future? How can I control this, causing me to look within? It can often come to us that we can become overwhelmed by the guilt of our sin. Instead of bringing that guilt constantly, confessing it, and constantly, with all humility, laying it before God, we think that that guilt too great. Or the temptations of Satan come to us, and Satan says, you want to find happiness? You know, you don't have much time in life. You better start thinking about it. You have the right for your own happiness, you know. You ought to pursue your own, you ought to have a happy life, and you ought to do what you need to do to be a happy life. Let the peace of God, to the which you have been called, let that rule, let it judge it out of bounds. Now think about it, beloved. The peace of God does do this in our hearts. It does. So let me use an example. Many examples could be used, but let me use an example that I trust all men and all husbands will relate to. So you get up in the morning and there's been perhaps a little bit of stress lately in your life, and you're at the kitchen with your wife who's gotten up with you, and you are provoked. You are unkind by something she said. You are harsh. You get angry with her. Words are spoken, and you walk out the kitchen, you get in the car, and you go to work. You know you stepped out of bounds. You know that. But you're going to have a nice day anyway, because you've planned perhaps a business meeting, a nice lunch, and in the afternoon with the nice weather, you're going to play golf. But there's something going on in the heart. There's something on you that the guys who are playing golf with you, they can see, because it's with every swing you make, it's in your heart. You know you stepped out of bounds. You know that you treated the gift of God, your wife, in the way that Christ said you mayn't treat her. You're troubled. That's the peace of God ruling in your heart, telling you, back in bounds. You're out of line. Go and do the right thing. Look at the next verse, very familiar. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. So obviously the Holy Spirit is making something parallel. The construction is the same. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And when you see a parallel, the thoughts combine. So how do you let the peace of God rule? You let the peace of God rule in your heart by having the Word of God dwell in you richly. Because it's the Word of God which will tell you how to live the Christian life. And so the text is saying very clearly, we have been called unto peace. And we have been given grace, a calling, that the peace of God must dominate, must govern, must umpire, must preside the thoughts of our heart. But perhaps we ask God, how? Well, there's two ways that we are preserved in this peace, ruling in our hearts. The first is the communion of saints. Look at the text. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called, in one body. Now, why does the Holy Spirit add that? When we read the epistles and these verses, is it just that occasionally the Apostle Paul just adds more spiritual thoughts thrown in there somehow? No. No, these verses are inspired. And therefore, there is a connection. And the connection is this. It's not too hard to figure out. In one body means that the peace of God is designed to rule in our hearts in the communion of the church, the body of Christ. It functions in the church. In other words, if we decide that we're going to be a lone ranger Christian, we're going to just come to church, but we don't want too much to do with it, and we're going to live in isolation from the body of Christ, then we will not know much of this peace. To the which you are called to this peace in one body. That is, in the body, the church, we experience the peace of God in our hearts. That's the truth of our spiritual Creator. That's how He's made it. That's the dynamic. Read the verse. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are called. What's the next word? You're called separately. separately. No. In one body. Peace of God lives in our hearts as we live in the communion of the saints. There are, of course, exceptions. Those exceptions tonight you may find in Christians who are imprisoned and who are facing cruel death and are all alone in their prison for the testimony of Christ and God. Though their enemies are against them, God will bless them with peace. There are children of God tonight that we know in hospitals. There are the aged in nursing homes and perhaps forgotten. God visits them with peace, His peace. But we, tonight, have been called to peace in one body. And now, young people, the point of the text is this. Fellowship in the Lord Jesus with your fellow Christian believers, young people, opens the gates of peace to your life. And the friendship of the world will open your life to unrest and confusion and misery of heart. The friendship of the world comes with this cost. No peace in the heart. The fellowship of God's people. That's the context, brings peace. Paul, in the context, is telling us how to live to the honor of God with each other. He has said to us, don't hold grudges. Forgive. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Don't be impatient. Don't carry on a quarrel, a feud in your spiritual life for years. Don't do that. Don't walk in the way of my own sinful pride. The cost will be peace here in my heart. If we isolate from the church or walk in bitterness with each other, our spiritual life will be like a car with a flat tire. You'll know something's wrong. And everybody else will know too. And if we don't feel that peace of God in our hearts ruling tonight, then don't take it out. Don't take it out on your kids. And don't say, I'll have the peace of God on my terms. Don't do that. But let us confess. Let us cast away all bitterness, all unforgiveness. Let us live and love in the body of Christ. But then there's a second way. How do I keep that peace of God? Don't read these verses as if, well, we've got this religious talk and no, everything fits. Everything is there for a purpose. And be ye thankful. Why is that there? Why does he say that now? Why now? Well, he says that, the Holy Spirit says that, because unthankful people, when we are unthankful, we forfeit peace. Therefore, it is crucially important that we heed this Word of God to maintain peace in the heart. We must be thankful to God. Gratitude is the soil in which peace lives. A thankful heart. A thankful heart is a heart that intentionally ascribes all things to God. A thankful heart is a heart that itemizes God's blessings. A thankful heart calls God the architect, God the source, and God the bestower of all that is good in my soul. If we grumble, don't be surprised if you say, where is there peace in my life? And you know how Satan works this. He works it the way that he worked with Eve in the garden. Eve in the garden, think about it. The whole world, the creation of God, yet without sin, the whole world was hers to use, to enjoy, except one tree. One thing that God said, no. And the devil said, God's holding out. God's not fair. You ought to have that. And so the devil's going to point in your life and in mine to one or two places where God has said, no. No. And our flesh will pick at that. Why does God do that? And we are no longer thankful. Be thankful. That means think through God's goodness. How does it go in the Psalter? How great the goodness kept in store for those who fear Thee and adore in meek humility. How great the deeds in mercy fraught, which openly His hands have wrought for those who trust in Thee. Let the peace of God rule. You have been given it. You have been called to it. Let it preside. Let it umpire. And do that in the communion of the body. And be ye thankful. Does the peace of God rule in your heart tonight? One of the martyrs during the time of the Reformation, being put to death at the stake, burnt at the stake, and while the wood chained to the stake and the wood was being put around him, one of those martyrs, his executioner, was in a tizzy, was sweating, was upset. And the martyr said to his executioner, put your hand on my chest and feel my heart. And the child of God's heart was calm and at peace with God and the peace of God. And then he said, put your hand on your heart. And the executioner put his hand upon his heart and it was beating like a drum. And the martyr said to him, do not pity me. This is my wedding day. Through these flames, I will pass into the glory of my Lord Jesus Christ. Pity yourself, who does not have this peace. And no matter how sweet and still your death may be, you and your death are going to pass into eternal flames. If, by God's wondrous grace, you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you have peace. Amen. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Word. And we pray that Thy Word may dwell richly in our heart, teaching and admonishing our hearts, that the peace of God, to the which we are called in one body, is to rule our hearts in this week, to Thy glory and to our comfort. Amen.